May 27th, Saturday of the seventh week of Easter. This time of year, as the days get longer and warmer, the trees turn green and the flowers blossom, millions of students look longingly out the window, counting the days and hours until the school year ends. Even for those who enjoy school, it's been a long year, and they're ready for something else. Many of their teachers feel the same way, although they try not to let on. It's natural when we have a task to do or a trial to face to focus on getting through it, telling ourselves that we will be better off once it is complete. The problem is that if we just focus on enduring to the end, we don't invest the energy and effort needed to do it well. We certainly see that with students and teachers. Some schools don't even fight that battle, filling the last weeks with field trips, films, service projects, and other activities that do not require much intellectual effort. Many of the first Christians had a similarly narrow horizon. In the face of opposition and persecution, as well as the day-to-day sacrifices of living a Christian life, they consoled themselves with the expectation that Christ would soon return to establish his kingdom and everything would be easy. The Gospels and epistles are full of references to that attitude, but they bring them up only to debunk them. Don't base your hopes on a quick and easy resolution to all your problems, they counsel their followers. We are in it for the long haul, which will take fortitude, fidelity, and trust. We see this in today's gospel passage, which refers to the expectation among some that at least one of the original disciples who knew Jesus personally would still be around to see him return for the final judgment of the world and the vindication of the faithful. But that was just a rumor, the author asserts. It was not what Jesus promised. This was probably written at a time when the church was coming to realize that it would have to make its way not only without the physical presence of Jesus, but without any of the witnesses who had known him personally, both before and after the resurrection. This was a huge adjustment, requiring the next generation to rethink what witness meant. They came to realize the importance of preserving the genuine accounts of Jesus, his deeds and teaching, as well as his death and resurrection, along with the reflections on their meaning from those who knew him. Even more important, it fell to those who followed them to continue the work of fidelity, healing, reconciliation, teaching, and sacrifice that Jesus had bequeathed to his disciples. The church was in a long and difficult struggle with all the forces of sin and death. And while it was assured that it would always prevail through the power of Christ given in the Holy Spirit, it could not just sit around waiting to be handed the victory. Its members had to go out every day and give their all in whatever way Christ needed them. Paul was a wonderful model of that attitude. In today's first reading, the end of the long story of his endless travel, preaching, and building communities of faith, in which he faced every imaginable obstacle and suffering, we see him in Rome, his final destination, under house arrest, shackled to his guard, and facing martyrdom. Yet he continues to encourage the faithful and preach the word of Christ. As much as he desired to leave this world and be reunited with his beloved Lord, he was not going to just sit around waiting for it to happen, when there was still work to be done. We are called to do the same. The church flourishes because of the many faithful Christians who, inspired and strengthened by the Spirit, go out every day and do the work needed to bring Christ to the world. We certainly see it here at Holy Trinity. Even among those who have reached retirement age and have both the means and the justification to sit back and luxuriate in past accomplishments, we see many who continue to expend themselves in service, whether it is in the parish, teaching, caring for the poor, or other ministries, or through other organizations, such as the McKenna Center, Knights of Malta, St. Anne's, and so on. That's how the apostolic spirit lives on from one generation to the next.